And people say Shaku Maku to you and a brilliant Good Friday in the city of Lagos. Every year listening to the Public Square, I am Aoro Obo, and together with Rotimi Sankore, we have you locked down for the next 2 hours. You're going to be listening to discussions affecting every one of us. Today's Public Square is focusing on Nigeria's democratic and electoral process. Following the passage of the new Electoral Act, Nigeria's presidential and national assembly elections will now hold on the 25th of February 2023, followed by the governorship and state houses of assembly elections on the 11th of March 2023. Dozens of aspirants have collected forms who expressed interest in many positions, some more prominent than others. So for only a few political parties that hold power at federal or state levels, dominating the political space, but there will be 18 parties on the ballot in 2023. Are you aware of all your democratic choices? Rotimi Sankore and I will be taking you through the list of 18 political parties and also some of the demographic data from INEC. Remember, you can engage program on Twitter, social media, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Aoro Obo, and at Nigeria Info FM. Also on WhatsApp, the number 0809-597-5805. Good afternoon, Rotimi.
Hello, Aoro.
Excellent.
Really, really big discussion for Good Friday.
Absolutely. And I guess no time to waste when we think about all of the things that have been happening, especially with the electoral body in the last couple of days.
But I mean, INEC has come out with some surprising data. Some people would even say shocking data. And I will go through it. Sadly, all the three INEC officials, the Commissioner for Information, the Director of
Voter Education,
and the Chief Press Secretary, all insisted that they want to enjoy their holiday today, and we should forgive them.
Yeah.
They will join us at another date. But I think enough of the INEC data is in the public to have a good picture. Obviously, we could have asked them specific questions, but I think we have enough of the data in the public domain to see what is happening, what has happened. And of course, you know, the really big issue for today's program is there are 18 political parties that will be on the ballot. Do the voters know these 18 parties? Are you aware that there are even 18 parties? Are you aware of your choices? The reason why it's called democracy is that you have choices. So you don't need to limit yourself to the political parties that have managed to capture power at federal or state level and then use that to dominate the political space. So we'll be taking you through the list of that as well.
Absolutely. So we must well set the ball rolling. I'm sure a number of listeners must have trained their eyes on the lenses and their ears to listen to the chairman of INEC, and they'd realize that INEC has its itinerary from now till election day, and we are at the pre-primary process, and INEC has interestingly warned political parties against premature campaigning. It's a very thin line, right?
Yes. I mean, you can't come out now and start saying, vote for me. That's the line.
Very true.
Yeah. You can't come out now and start saying, vote for me, because I'm the only candidate that can do ABC, vote for our party, because, you know, you can't do. Hello?
Sorry, Rotimi, go ahead.
In running for a specific office,
right?
You know, you can pick up the form You can claim that some people have picked up the phone for you. You can even beat your chest and say you are the most qualified or not, you know, and so forth like that. That's what you can really do now. And INEC is a bit concerned that even before the party primaries have been completed, some individuals are already campaigning for president mainly. I mean, we've seen some people indicate interest for governorship. I think the most prominent so far is the deputy senate president, who just picked up his form. And then there are other people that have indicated, but INEC is particularly concerned about the presidential elections. I think those jostling for that position, some are already assuming they've won the primaries. Some are already saying the others are not a threat to them. They are going to contest based on ABC. No. I mean, that's not it for now.
Right. So everyone who's listening, between now, in fact, we're already 2 weeks into this stage, which is the party primary stage. So from the 4th of this month till the 3rd of June, which is a period of 60 days, all the parties are supposed to have conducted their primaries. Even though our eyes have been trained a lot on the People's Democratic Party and the All Progressives Congress, I've seen a number of parties who have their candidates already, their aspirants already mentioned, that some already have candidates with the other parties, 16 other parties, which will be on the ballot, wrote to me.
Yes. I mean, June 3rd is not really very far away. So, I mean, mark your calendars. By midnight on June 12th, you will know all the presidential candidates for the parties. And then the race can kick off in earnest. There is some concern by INEC and really by thousands of well-meaning Nigerians that some of the primaries may be nasty. You know, and I really hope not. I can see a bit of bitterness already. Some people are using words like backstabbing, desperate, you know, we'll crush our opponents. I mean, why? I mean, you know, it's elections. I mean, what you do is that you win your party primary, you put forward your ideas within your party.
Right.
If your party believes that your ideas are best to win the election, they support you. Ideally, that's what should happen. We know from historical experience that a lot of money will be thrown about. And we know that also there is a risk that some of the primaries may end up as a fiasco. I mean, we hope no such thing happens. We need maximum stability now. That's what the political parties need to realize, that healthy internal democracy within their party is a really crucial component of the overall democracy. If they scuttle the internal democracy, then their party goes to war with itself, and then it can spill over into the rest of the society. So, you know, it's really not necessary. They are shading each other too much. It's not necessary. June 3, we'll know who the candidates are, and everybody can then start campaigning for their candidates. And whoever doesn't win primary, well, you can always try next time. I mean, it's not your personal country.
Very true. So keep your eyes, and of course, remember this 10 warning from the INEC chairman, that the parties abide by the INEC calendar. Make sure that no one doesn't have his candidate ready. I mean, he was unequivocal saying that they were going to make sure that anyone who did not have his candidate out by then risked being not on the ballot. And talking of the ballot, Rotimi, we have 18 parties for next year's election.
Yes. Well, let me start by saying that it's probably best that you you, the listener, look at the list of the 18 parties and see which you recognize. Mm. So we've tweeted it. You can look at it at Nigeria Info FM or at Public Square NG or at Rotimi Sankore, and you can see the list of the 18 parties. Mm. I mean, as I was looking at the promo, really interesting acronyms there.
Yeah.
If you click on the, what people like me call the attachments, you will see the full names of the parties, the logos, yeah, and everything. But if you look at the acronyms of some of them, you know, it's quite interesting. So what we've done, we've listed it in alphabetical order. And number one is just an acronym called A, letter A, and that's it.
That's very strategic.
Yes, A. So
you get
if
you
are going to represent a political party in the future, you may want to consider starting it with A. I mean, that's what these folks are telling us now.
And then you got AA.
Yes, you know, we are A, you know, and that's it. Now, if you want to know what A stands for, like I said, you know, you can click on the full list and then it will show you what, like I said, go to at Rotimi Sankore, at Public Square NG, or at Nigeria Info FM. Then there is AA. I think those ones we are trying to double their bets and ensure that they are at the top. You know, there is AAC. I think some people we know who that party is associated with. There is ADC. Some people may know who the party is associated with. There is ADP. Of course, there is APC, which means different things to different people. But if you don't know what APC is in Nigeria now, you've just landed from another planet. There is APC, APP, APGA, otherwise known as APGA, with a very interesting, those who watched Governor Solu, those swearing in on TV would have seen a lot of party activists going, cuckoo-roo-coo. this is really interesting.
Oh boy.
There is APM, now there is BP, which does not refer to your blood pressure. There is LP. Some people will know what LP is historically. NMPP, NRM, PDP, like APC. If you don't know what PDP is at this point, then you are not even following the politics at all. There is PRP, which is the only legacy party, like, you know, historical, from the 1979 elections. Again, I will urge you, click on the tweet and you will see the full list of parties and what PRP stands for. SDP is a bit, you know, not as historical as PRP, which existed since 1978 in one form or the other. But, you know, SDP, most people will know, is associated with Abiola. Whether it's still the same party or not, up to you to decide. There is YPP, and then there is ZLP. I mean, we are playing on the acronyms. So that you can go and look at it yourself.
Right.
I mean, if we started reading all the names and everything, it may just take too long. So, that's what social media is for. That's what the tweets are for. I mean, you can look at what A stands for, the full name, what AA stands for, the full name, the symbol of the party, and so forth. All 18 of them. Now, when the candidates are fully selected, we can start talking about ideology and manifesto, what they stand for, because that is what the election is about. I mean, historically, since the modern democracy started, ideally, people vote for parties based on manifesto or ideological direction, either left, radical left, center left, centrists, neither left nor right, center right, radical right, far right, and so forth like that. I mean, each coming with their own thinking on things like education, healthcare, housing, transport, and so forth like that. In Nigeria, honestly, it's difficult to figure out who stands for what, except for some parties that, because of the historical name, say like Labour Party, you kind of think this is where they may be leaning to. But when the race kicks off, we'll look at the ideology and the manifesto, as well as the potential credibility of the candidates. Then you can decide who you would like to vote for at that point. But the main thing is there are 18 parties, right. not two. Right. You know, however, just skipping forward a bit, INEC has, you know, pointed out that everybody needs to notify for their primaries. If your primaries are not well conducted, then you may not be on the ballot.
Only 10 so far, according to INEC, have notified.
Only 10 have given notice of the primary so far.
Okay, so we're going to keep our eyes on that one and see if that number will be increased. And hopefully it will, so we can have a contest on the ballot. So we have an overview of some of the demographic data we have from the electoral body. So this will give us an idea of what INEC has done so far with the voter registration and voting summary.
Yes, I mean, the few minutes before the first break, I think it was interesting when the INEC chair, Yakubu, announced that the youth registration is topping the chart. Not surprisingly, I mean, this is a youthful country. The future belongs to the youth. If they don't vote, then they pay the consequences or they pay the price. So he's pointed out that what is considered as youth 18 to 34 years are leading the pack of new registration and are 78.7% of those that have registered so far. I mean, this is not surprisingly. The broad demographic of the country anyway is that 63% of the population of the country is under 30. So having 18 to 34 year olds making up the bulk of the new voter registration at 78%, I think is in line with the overall demographics. In terms of specific numbers, what the INEC chair pointed out is that there's a total of 1.3 new valid voters, 1.3 million, and that the youth voters are roughly 1 million. Right. 1,093,000. So that's what makes up that 78%. He says that the middle age people, you know, are just sort of 15%. That is, I guess he means those under 40, you know, but not less than 34. Then for those of us, that is myself and my age group, he says that those 50 to 69 years old are just 55.5%. Those 50 to 69 years old are just 5.5% or 76,000. Well, me, I consider myself as an honorary youth, so I'm standing with the earlier figures. And those 70 years and above, out of the new people that have just registered, 9,888, and that's 0.7%. Interestingly, that's the demographic from where a lot of the candidates will be coming from. So, if it was a demographic election, as many of the young people are saying, you know, if you are 70 and over, I mean, you should be worried.
I mean, deeply worried and concerned. We still have a couple of minutes before we go on our first break, Rotimi, I think we can begin to circle into this big discussion around the invalid registration. I mean, I did see him twitch, the INEC chairman, when he announced the percentage of those invalid registration, which means they will have to re-register.
We need to bring them, I mean, any of the three that we spoke with for this program that, apologized and begged, that said, look, it's Easter, they need to rest, they've been overworking. But it was a bit disturbing. It was a bit disturbing when the INEC chair pointed out, he said that nearly 45% of the newly completed registration was described as invalid, and that in some states it's even as high as 60%. Now, he had to explain this, really, to avoid panic. And what he said was that, that in some cases there was incomplete data. Maybe people started registration, didn't finish it, didn't put all the data points that were required, or there was double registration and the biometrics cleaned it up and recognized that, and I think that confusion, and INEC acknowledged, came mainly from the suggestion by some people that your INEC, that your PVC has expired. So some people probably went to register again. Obviously, some people that went to do double registration may not have the best intent, but given when that statement was made and the surge in people trying to re-register again, there is a connection between that. But, 45% of new, so this may be problematic because some people will assume that they have registered. And if they turn up on the day, I hope INEC will have a way of putting out a notice to those people saying, especially if it is incomplete.
Right.
If it is a question of double, they just nullify one, and if there is any criminal intent, then good luck to you. But if it is incomplete, there has to be a way of notifying people to say you didn't complete this or that. So people don't turn up to vote on the day and be told they can't vote, and then they start fighting in the place.
Right. In fact, I was listening to Festus Okoya, the commissioner for publicity for INEC, and he was saying that, so after Easter, they're going, people who did the registration first and second quarter, the voter cards are now available, so they can go and pick them up by going to the INEC site again, which we often put out in the news and all our bulletins, INEC, cvr.inecnigeria.org, cvr.inecnigeria.org, so people can go and check that out there. But so I'm thinking, Ruth, maybe if they get on the portal, by the time they do a search for their voter card, they will know that they are affected, because they will see an information showing invalid. But I wish it was a lot clearer for them so that they would know.
Yes, I mean, it would be better if it says incomplete registration. Please represent yourself.
Yeah.
Because the way you use the language really matters.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really of big concern, because if large groups turn up to vote, I mean, this is arguably the most consequential election in this phase of democracy since 1999.
Right.
If large groups turn out and they are told they can't vote on the day, and it is not clear why, there could be some disturbance. And really, now we need as much stability as possible around the voting process.
All right. I think we can have that break now. So we come back from the break. Those of you who are listening, 99.3 Nigeria Info, the Public Square. We'll have time to do a comparison of a historical data comparison of turnout, voter turnout elections 2015, 2019. And maybe you would maybe point us in the direction we are headed to for the next election. Hopefully the turnout we hope will be a lot better than what we've seen in previous polls. So let's go on the quick break. When we come back, Public Square will continue. Please stay with us. Oh, welcome back. It's quite a long break, but welcome back to the Public Square. I'm Aro Obo. Together with Rotimi Sankore, we have a big discussion which we have been taking you through from the top of the hour. It's electoral and the democratic process. And that's what we're looking at. We have the elections coming up next year. And we are at stage three in the INEC calendar, which is when the political parties should have their primaries. And just before we went on the break, we were looking at this invalid registration number, which INEC says happened, and it's meant that as percentage as high as 54% of those who registered between last year and now will have to be re-registered because of their process is invalid, according to the INEC chairman. So, Rotimi, we still have quite a number of talking points to look at before we open the square to our listeners.
Yes, but yeah. I think we have some small wahala.
But by the way, I was going to respond to someone on WhatsApp. So this problem isn't just with one part of the country. It's all across the country this invalid registrations have happened. So banish from your mind any conspiracy theories. It is the entire country that has been affected with this problem.
So there are two valid questions that have come up from a few people during the outbreak. And one of those questions is, why were the other 74 parties deregistered? Now, it's possible that not everybody was paying attention. So let's just try and explain what INEC said, you know, in a minute or two. So INEC said the other 74 parties were deregistered by section, I think it's 225A, section 225A of the 1999 Constitution as amended, which has a provision that registered parties that fail to win at least 25% of the vote cast in one state in a presidential election, or fail to win at least 25% of the votes cast in one local government area, or fail to win at least one ward in local government elections, or fail to win at least one seat in national or national assembly or state house of assembly, or fail to win at least one councillorship, that any party that doesn't meet any of those criteria, that INEC reserves the right to deregister. So that's what happened to the other 74 parties. I mean, is that right? By global standards, no. The global standards generally are that all parties reserve the right to exist as political parties. But to go onto the ballot paper, you need some additional criteria. So if you want to run in local government elections, that criteria, depending on the country, may be that you need 1,000 people, registered voters, to sign your form.
Right.
And if you want to run in state election, you need 1,000 registered voters in each local government. And if you want to run in presidential election, the same thing applies, and so on, as for you to go on the ballot paper. If not, you reserve the right to exist as a political party, but you may not be able to present candidates for parties. The Nigerian, you know, what we are seeing, you know, is that they are saying that if you don't win by some criteria, one councillorship, one state house of assembly, one national assembly, or you don't get 25% of votes in one state in the presidential and so on, and then you are deregistered. The danger there is that if only three parties, you know, meet those criteria, then everybody is deregistered. And if those three parties hold on indefinitely, or two parties or one party, then you are drifting towards dictatorship.
Very true.
Of a sort. So I think this should be revisited. It is always important to look at what is done globally, because if not, then you start pushing people towards the fringes. They don't believe in the system, you know, and then antagonism builds up. And when antagonism builds up, people don't believe in the system, then we know what happens next. So that's that. The other people are saying, We only mentioned the acronyms of the parties, but everybody knows what PDP and APC mean, that we are disadvantaging the other 16. So please, Ahol, let us just speak through it.
Right.
If you want to look at it in more detail later, go to at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, or at Nigeria Info FM. So just quickly, A is Accord Party, AA is Action Alliance, AAC is Africa Action Congress, ADC is African Democratic Congress, ADP is Action Democratic Party, APC is All Progressive Congress, APGA is All Progressives Grand Alliance, APM is Allied People's Movement, LP, Labour Party, NNNP is New Nigeria People's Party, NROM is National Rescue Movement, PDP, People's Democratic Party, PRP, People Redemption Party, SDP, Social Democratic Party, YPP, Young Progressive Party, ZLP, Zenith Labour Party. The two other parties, BP, which is Boots Party, and APP, Action People's Congress, were added to the 16 that remained after the deregistration, because one was registered after the 2019 election and another one went to court, you know, to make a case as to why they shouldn't be deregistered. So those two were added to the 16, making 18. Again, you want to look at it in more detail for your reference, social media, at Rotimi Sankore on Twitter, at Public Square NG program handle, at Nigeria Info FM station handle. So I hope everybody is happier now. You won't say we didn't mention the name of your party. In fact, some people wanted to know which the 18 parties are in full name, that the acronym teaser was too much of a teaser for them. So there you are. We can go back to the other points.
All right. Okay. So we have everybody on the same page now. So let's move on to INEC. We're going to look at now the historical data comparison, Rotimi. We've got the 2019 voter registration and turnout. And we have that to look ahead for the 2023 poll. Well, I'm looking at the time, Rotimi. We still have time. Please go ahead, Rotimi.
Okay. All right. I will try and summarize it quickly. So in 2019, the historical data told us 84 million Nigerians registered to vote. Obviously, for the 2023 elections, we don't have the full picture yet. Out of the 84 million that registered to vote for the 2019 elections, 29,360,000 votes were accredited. 29,360,000. So, roughly, not enough. Not enough, you know.
Not enough.
Then 27,320,000 were valid, and 15,190,000 votes won the presidential election. So, in other words, 27 million voters made the decision for 200 million Nigerians at the time. So you can see that voter turnout was not high at all. If you are wondering what happened in 2015 compared to 2019, in 2015, it was 68 million voters, you know, compared to the 2019, roughly 84 million. The PVCs collected in 2015 were 56.4 million. In 2019, 72.7 million. Accredited voters 2015 was higher than 2019, even though the registered voters in 2019 were more than those in 2015. That was a really interesting point. So in a year when we had a lower number of registered voters, there was a higher number of accredited voters, voter apathy. Because it's not just getting your PVC, you have to use it. So the valid vote in 2015 were 28.5 million. In 2019, it was 27.3 million. Rejected votes in 2015, 844,519. In 2019, 1.2 million. If you are interested in how the parties that the two top parties at the time, in 2015, APC was 15,424,921. In other words, 15.4 million won the votes in 2015. And PDP was 12.8 million. In 2019, the APC votes were more or less the same, 15.1 million. In fact, a reduction in the votes by 300,000. So 15.4 million in 2015, 15.1 million in 2019. For PDP too, there was a reduction in votes, 12.8 million in 2015, 11.2 million in 2019. So will 2023 buck that trend? You know, we don't know. It's not just getting the PVC. You have to use it. However, there is something to point out that is peculiar about countries like Nigeria. And that is that there are many people that are not able to vote on the day. For instance, journalists can vote on the day because you are covering the election. So what should happen there? Global standard, there should be the opportunity to vote before. That's what happens. Health professionals, global standard, have the opportunity to vote before. Security personnel, global standard, have the opportunity to vote before. INEC officials and other people working on the day, they can't vote. They have the opportunity to vote before. That's the global standard. In Nigeria, I don't know, that may be just over 1 million people. So it's something INEC has to consider, because if over 1 million to 1.5 million people cannot vote because they are engaged on the day, or I mean, you can't expect a doctor on duty or nurse or, you know, to say they are going to vote, they won't attend to patients and so forth. So it is something we need to consider. You know, it is a learning process, and the global standards are crucial. If not, we undermine our democratic process.
And very valid point. And what we still have to deal with when we come back from the next break, we'll have a look at the polling units. We'll look at the presidential elections also too. There's the legislative election as well as state level election. All of these elections are very important because they help connect the dots to the democratic puzzle which Nigeria has been trying to solve at least, well, for the last 22 uninterrupted years. And there's the general hope and feeling that we'll get it. We do our little part by letting you know what to do, put out all the information for you with the analysis, and point you hopefully in the right direction. We're going to go on a quick break. When we come back, there will be the news headlines, and after the headlines, Rotimi and I will continue. Remember, there's a discussion going off online also too at Public Square NG at Nigeria Info FM, at Rotimi Sankore at our hub. All of this on Twitter as well as different social media platforms. On WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. Send us messages, questions, comments, inquiries. We'll take all of that when we open the square to everyone in the public square. Welcome back to the public square on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And it's 2 minutes past five. And so for the next hour, well, less than an hour, we will have closing discussions on the different talking points we've had around the electoral process and the democratic process. And then we will open the phone lines as well as engage with you on social media. Remember, the WhatsApp number 0809-597-5805. Remember, on social media at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awohua Obo. Any of these different handles, you will be on to us. So, Rotimi, we have still some little work to do, which is around basically the polling units, there's been an increase in number of polling units. We look at geographical distribution by zone. And then we have presidential election results, which would also have a brief overview of quickly.
Yes. But first, can I say some people are asking questions, can new parties be registered before 2023? No. Mm. INEC has said, by virtue of the Electoral Act and the schedule that it, in quotes, imposes, new parties can be registered because the primaries are on already.
Right.
So remember what Ahoho said, we are 2 weeks into the primary process.
Yeah.
And the primaries will be concluded on June 3rd.
Yes.
So in such a situation, it's self-evident, no new parties can be registered for 2023 elections. So please do try and pay attention to the data and the guidelines that Ahoho and I, you know, so that you don't ask questions that have self-evident answers. But because, I mean, that one was really important. It's important to clarify. And no parties can be registered again because the primary process has commenced. So, I mean, that's that for that. Now, for the polling units, it's important to mention this because there is a lot of assumption that people vote in a monolithic block, by region, by state, you know, by religion. So you have people saying, Lagos, we vote this way. This state owns Lagos. No, Kaduna, we vote the other way. That party owns Kaduna. Abia, it will go this way. If it doesn't go that way, it is cheating.
Mm.
And so forth. You know, the North will vote like this. South will vote like, no, that's not right. But there is no such thing as monolithic block voting.
Mm-hmm.
The demographics have to be nuanced, and we really need more data. So now, the block data we have leans towards this ethnic and regional prejudices.
Mm.
So, for instance, the polling units that exist now by zone, Northwest, 41,000 polling units in the Northwest, which is the highest. Southwest, 34,000. North Central, 27,000. South South, 27,000. North East, 24,000. And lowest in Southeast, 21,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, total of 176,846. But if I remember correctly, from a question I asked Festus Okoye, the INEC commissioner, then for voter education, our is INEC commissioner for voter education, eh?
Yes,
first of yes.
Voter.
So we shared a platform just before COVID at a public symposium. You know, the two of us spoke there, and I asked him that, you know, what is likely to happen by 2023, and he said, well, the way it's going, it's likely that we'll have close to 200,000 polling units.
Mm.
You know? I mean, now, what's the importance of this? The importance of this is that if, as a presidential aspirant, you are running for election,
right,
it means you need 200,000 polling agents. So,
and to mobilize
them. If you are not represented, I mean, ideally, you should have 400,000.
Mm.
But if you just assume that you are popular, and therefore, everybody will vote for you, but there is nobody to defend your vote on the day or even to sign and say this is what was counted, then obviously there will be problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two big parties, or let's say the three big parties, you know, that have captured power at state level and at federal level, it would have been four if Mimiko did not defect. The Labour Party governor at the time, if he had not defected, it would have been four.
Mm.
It would have been Labour Party, APGA, PDP, and APC.
Right.
Now, they have state resources, which everybody has complained that they abuse.
Mm.
Now, ideally, what should happen is that in the run-up to the election, every party should do an online appeal for volunteers. This is what happens globally. you do an online appeal for volunteers. Oh, our party is thinking of presenting a candidate for governor, for president. This is how many poll watchers or volunteers we need. 200,000 broken down so by state. Mm. Then people register online and then they let you know where they are, what zone, what state, what district, what polling unit,
right,
and so forth like that. And then you allocate accordingly. It is because people have not adopted this modern method of defending their votes or getting volunteers that there is a tendency for the thing to be monetized. You are paying people 10K. Yeah. And if you multiply 10K by 200,000, you can see what you're looking at already.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why there is a false perception that you need to be a billionaire to run for president, because just for that alone, I mean, it even surpasses the legal amount allowed by the by the Constitution. So it's important to look at those figures and know what to do. Now, the kind of further data that we need, and you can see INEC going in that direction. They've given us some youth demographic. For the newly registered voters, we need it for all. We need it for all. We need it by age group. We need it by gender. We need it by profession. We need it by whether you are student or not,
mm-hmm,
you know, and so forth like that. That is how modern elections are run, so that your program manifesto can be clearly targeted. If you lose in an area, you know why you lost.
Right.
You know, if an area is made up mostly of students, and there are places like that, for instance, around universities, and you are running on the platform that you are going to triple the school fee, obviously you will know why you lost there.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else is saying that they will make an argument as to where the resources can be got to make education free,
right,
and affordable, you right, can, you know, you can understand why the person, you know, defeated the other candidate there.
Mm-hmm.
So without that kind of demographic information, we have this blanket thing where people say the North will vote like this, the South will vote like this,
right,
Igbo people will vote like this, the Muslims or Christians. There is no such demographic block. The North, for instance, is not, you know, it is broken. There are many Christians in the North. There are states where Muslims are a majority in the, Muslims are a minority in the North, and so forth like that. There are southern states that have large percentages of Muslims. In the Southwest, for instance, you can see households, one parent will be Muslim, one parent will be Christian, you know, the children will practice whatever they want, and nobody fights in the place.
Mm.
So those things on their own are not indicators of how people will vote.
Mm.
You know, and it is those ethnic or religious, you know, assumptions that actually lead to conflict. You know, it is important to mention that, because we are going to go into historical data. In 1979, Wole Soyinka, Chinua Achebe, and the whole lot of people, when they joined political parties, they didn't join UPN or MPP. They joined PRP, led by Aminu Kanu.
Mm.
Because the then PRP offered a program that was, in fact, more pro-people than that of UPN at the time. So anyway, to save time,
right,
we'll just touch on some of the historical data that, you know, debunks this idea. Now, in 1979, Shagari versus Awo, obviously not as many voters as today.
Mm.
Shagari won by, Shagari's vote were 5.6 million.
Mm.
Awo was 4.9. Very close.
Mm.
In 1983, Shagari was 12 million. Awo was 7.9 million. Now, remember that in Nigeria, there is something called runoff.
Mm.
So if the two candidates that score the highest don't meet the criteria of winning X percentage in 24 states, there is a runoff between the two highest. That may happen this time. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. Remember the so-called court case when 12-2/3 was equal 13? Very complicated. 1993, Abiola scored 8.3 million votes, Bashir Tofa 5.9 million.
Right.
And Abiola won overwhelmingly in the north. So the idea that people vote on monolithic block is not true. In 1999, Obasanjo, 18.7 million votes. Olufale, 7.9 million. Both of them are from the southwest. Obasanjo's vote was more than double that of Olufale. And Obasanjo's vote was, you know, more demographically spread out.
Right.
So you can't say that religion or ethnicity was the issue then.
Right.
In 2003, Obasanjo, 24.4 million votes. Buhari, 12.7 million votes.
Mm.
Again, you can see, Obasanjo got significant votes in the north. So if it was a question of religion, that wouldn't, or ethnicity, that wouldn't have happened. Yar'Adua, who so far has scored the highest vote of any presidential aspirant, 24.6 million votes. Again, two northerners from the same zone, 24.6 million votes for Yar'Adua, 6.6 million for Buhari at the time.
Mm.
So you can't say ethnicity, religion. You know, so people need to play down on those things and start looking at ideology and program more, which brings more peace.
Mm.
In 2011, and we are rounding up, Jonathan, 22.4 million, Buhari, 12.2 million. Almost double Buhari's vote. Again, a significant vote from the north.
Mm.
So, you know, those things, again, didn't count like that. In 2015, it narrowed. Buhari, good luck. This time, the table turned. Buhari won with 15.4 million votes. Jonathan, 12.8 million. Then, Buhari versus Atiku, 2019, Buhari, 15.1 million votes. Atiku, 11.2 million. The reason why we are going into all this is that for young people today, those between the ages of 18 and 24, that are going to make up a significant number of voters, they've only known one president. They've only known one president from one part of the country. And you can see, in the process of holding that president account, they are not really focusing on ideology, program, competence, and so forth. Many people are raising issues around religion and ethnicity, which is not the way to go. Those things will not fix your country.
Mm-hmm.
Those things won't fix your country. What we need now is people that will fix the, you know, 22 million housing deficit, the 13 million children out of school, the 60 million adults that can't read and write,
right,
the 195,000 megawatts that we need to make up the electricity deficit,
right,
and so forth like that.
All right, what we can do before we open the lines, we have still the legislative elections as well as state level elections, which will include governorship and then state assembly elections. So I think we can spare a couple of minutes on this one to see how important this is.
Yes, I mean, that can really be summarized. The
right.
point there is that the presidential election is not the only thing you should pay attention to,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of things happen at the state and local government level.
Mm.
On another program, we again go through in detail so everybody understands the role of the three tiers of government. So if you are blaming the president for the poor state of affairs in your local government, you've misread. Even the best president with the best intention cannot affect anything happening in your local government.
Mm-hmm.
It can't happen. That's not the person's constitutional responsibility. So it's important that people pay attention to the three tiers and to the National Assembly and to the House of Assembly. And let me give a quick example of what is happening in France now. In France, Macron is a centrist candidate, not to the left, not to the right, but he's very young. In fact, the youngest president in France in modern times. He formed a party barely a year to the election, and they not only won the National Assembly, they won the presidential elections. People were tired of the two main center-left and center-right parties. But now Macron is rerunning, and he's facing more or less an insurgency from the right-wing candidate Marine Le Pen. Mm-hmm. In fact, some people will call her fascist or racist because that's historically what the National Front has been. Mm-hmm. Now, the two of them are first and second. Nobody has won outright, so there is going to be a runoff very soon. What is most likely going to happen there is that both for the parliamentary and presidential elections, what is most likely going to happen is that the moderate, center, left, and so-called parties are likely to do tactical voting. They will vote for Macron for the presidential level, but at the parliamentary level, they will reach arrangement to vote for the party most likely to win that is not the National Front. I'm looking at the campaigning very closely, and I'm familiar with the country, having worked and lived in Europe. So that is what is most likely to happen. Nigerian voters should become more nuanced. Pay attention to your House of Assembly. Pay attention to your National Assembly, your Senate, your House of Rep, and so forth. So that for your local issues or for better legislation, because legislation counts a lot. If you have bad legislation, you can empower a terrible president. If you have bad legislation, you can undermine a good president. Mm. So people should pay attention to those things. That's where you can make the real difference. That's where you can make the real difference. Governorship election, House of Assembly, National Assembly, and so forth like that. Presidents do not have the constitutional authority to fix anything in your local government, or in fact, in many instances, in your state. So, I mean, that really is the summary. Because if people don't pay attention to that, then you will, look, let me give an example in case people don't understand. President Buhari is from Katsina. Katsina is besieged by bandits. What's he going to do about it? He's going to send soldiers. Will the soldiers build the primary school that the governor and the local government did not build? Of course not. So now they are going to get combat helicopters. What's $1 billion? Will that build primary school? That's the work of the local government. If we don't build the primary schools, we don't do the secondary schools, the bandits and the extremists will have an endless supply line that no number of combat helicopters can check.
All right, so
it's important, really, to nuance, to look at the tiers and become more sophisticated. I really hope that people develop that political consciousness. If not, the way the demographics is going, by the end of the second term of the next set of politicians, if we have 25 million children out of school, 100 million adults that can't read and write, the deficit in power and everything is much worse, you can really start kissing the country goodbye from around 2031.
Right.
And
so,
that is if nothing terrible happens in between that can spark a problem.
All right. Excellent. And so we will open the phone lines. And so everyone remember also to that when you call in, the numbers I will read out in a moment. You can also send a messages on WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. And then the number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And then females have an extra number to call in with. It's 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. So, Rotimi, I think we can take in the calls now.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
All right, let's go. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, very good evening to you.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling
good.
From?
On the upcoming election and the planning, we all know that no matter how we prepare and speak the English, on the day of the election, as Adam Sosomele said before, election rigging happens either before the election, on the day of the election, or after the election. Now, on election day, the security agents that are sent to police stations come with batons in their hand. And the thugs that belong to the politicians come with AK-47, who, in his right senses, we remain at the voting vote to vote and defend your vote as the politicians demand from us. When they have already moved their families to the comfort of Europe and the Americas, they will tell us to wait and vote and defend our vote with AK-47 in the hands of their thugs and batons in the hands of the policemen. To get it right, if the government is prepared for a free, fair, and credible election, every civilian that goes to a police station on election day will be a voter. You only allow the military to handle the votes and you will have proper election. Apart from that, we'll speak English from now to you. I will never be able to get it right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Just for that caller, he has made some good points, but self-evidently everything he said is not true. If not, incumbent will never lose election.
All right. So let's go on a quick break. When we come back, we continue on the public square, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 26 minutes to 6 on this Good Friday edition of the public square. And I hope you're getting all of the information on this electoral and democratic journey and discussion we're having here. And we're taking in calls now, Rotimi Sankore and I, and also on social media, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And then 01465-71904 the women. Again, 01465-71904. WhatsApp 08095975805. So while the calls coming in on WhatsApp, let me say quickly, I have messages to read quickly out from WhatsApp. Dakpo in Ogba in Maryland says that please will our votes be transmitted electronically directly from the polling unit to INEC portal this coming election? Yes. How come our PVCs don't have a enabled chip similar to ATM that could help the electorate cast his or her vote wherever he or she is without being restricted by location? Well, that will be maybe in INEC's future plans, but for now, that cannot happen.
It's not just because it's a future plan. A lot of the representation is geographical.
Yes.
So if you can vote for any local government from anywhere you are, that's going to be a problem.
Very true.
So, to the extent that a lot of the representation is geographical, then there will be geographical limitations on the voting. Now, in political science, there is a school of thought that promotes the idea that representation should be both by geographic and sectoral. And therefore, for instance, the education sector should have representatives, the health sector should have representatives, and so forth like that. It's called a workers' democracy. So you combine geographic with sectoral, so that when sectoral issues come up, for instance, doctors and nurses being owed salary, teachers and lecturers being owed salary. And you can even see in Nigeria, the police were threatening to go on strike.
Right.
They were threatening to go on strike. The IG responded by, sacking the alleged strike leaders and saying that everybody who has been on the same rank for several years should be promoted. The political scientists or the ideologues that move for workers' democracy and sectorial representation argue that if each sector had 50% representation and each geographic sector had 50% representation, that the parliament will be more balanced. Mm. That's likely to happen in the future. Mm. I was shocked in Nigeria when Afe Babalola, who is not necessarily known as a political radical, was even talking about this. Mm. And he was saying, manufacturers, workers, everybody should have representatives in the parliament. Now, if that kind of thing happens, then there may be less limitations on geographical voting.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Let's hear what the people have to say. Hello and good evening.
Good evening, my brother.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
My name is Anthony. I'm calling from Ikeja.
All right, Anthony, go ahead quickly.
Please, I want to disagree with your guest concerning the issue of the figures he churned out. That is the figures that those that are controlling our political system want the people to know.
Those are the figures from INEC. If you establish your own voting agency, you may have different figures. Those are the INEC figures.
But what I'm trying to let you know is that the election that took place in 2015 and 2019 happens to be the worst election that ever happened in Nigeria.
And that's your opinion now.
Hold on. Have you asked the electoral body how those underage voters found themselves in INEC register?
No, we go with the data. We don't go with fictional thinking. Provide evidence and give us specific numbers.
All right. In fact, when he said, I thought probably he had some data to work with, only to say that underage voters and no, come on, that's absolutely.
It may be possible that it happened, but you have to tell us how many and who validated your numbers.
All right. I mean, we sat down through all the entire collation process, and even the instances it did happen, it were isolated cases. It wasn't a general thing. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, Chief Obo.
Great to have you join us, Christopher.
Marco.
Markushi, please go ahead.
Markushi. Sarotimi, good evening, sir.
Hello, good evening.
The people they asked to resign before contesting for primary, what happened to those set of people?
Think the INEC regulations will catch up with them, self-evidently. If once they get to the primary level and they contest without resigning, the INEC regulations will kick in. There is no need to argue too much about it. If it doesn't kick in, there will likely be legal repercussions.
Okay. Yeah. The rail line that go through Katsina and the University of Transport and the early field at the early part, the building in Katsina State, don't you think the president is the one that attracted those things to Katsina?
It's possible.
So it's possible for them to do that. And for you to say incumbent president would not lose the election or something, Jonathan is not the type, you know. He doesn't have this Anogogri syndrome like this set of people. Watch it. If these people lose the election, they will not go, my brother. You will see what will happen. Thank you.
That is the turn you are making before the fact. Obviously, if it happens, we will all see it.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes we really need to think properly before we say some of these things. Yeah? When it happens and it is factual, then we will take action on it.
Right.
But you can't just make an assumption and say they don't look like the type of people that will go.
I remember Olusegun Obasanjo when he was president. A lot of people thought that he would never, ever go against any electoral defeat. But interestingly, he had to. Several times he had to. Never say never.
Incumbent political parties have lost governorship elections.
Exactly.
They've lost senatorial, House of Assembly, House of, you know.
Yes.
So you can't make an assumption that because somebody's a particular person in a particular government sounds undemocratic.
Yeah.
We know when somebody sounds undemocratic, you know, especially some kind of ministers that are in a democracy and protested when they were in opposition, but they won't allow other people to carry placards now that they are in government. We know, we can see those people. But you can't say that if the person loses an election, the person will not go. That's not factual. It hasn't happened.
All right. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening. Oh, he's still talking to the children. I have to let you go now. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Kindly turn off the device you're listening with.
Abume from there.
Good. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Ola from Mushin.
All right, Ola, go ahead quickly.
Please, I just want to ask you a little question. I had something happen in Imo State yesterday.
Mm.
And you people are saying that it's a must for the youth to vote. I'm sure that this voting is going to be save something for us.
Oh, yeah.
They have not started voting.
Mm.
And look at what happened in Imo State yesterday.
All right. Thank you very much.
Self-evidently, they are part of Nigeria that are not secure. And self-evidently, in that regard, the incumbent federal government has not done as well as it should do. And self-evidently, many state governors have not done as well as they should do. Now, do we want these issues to be addressed? Yes. Is it legitimate to raise those concerns? Yes. So the concerns will continue to be raised, and it will be raised robustly.
Yes.
If on the day the security agencies fail to provide the security and the integrity of the voting process, you know, is not guaranteed, it will also be addressed robustly. So yes, by all means, point it out. It is a question, and it is a question everybody wants answered.
All right. And of course, our hearts go out to the INEC official who was killed in Imo State.
Quite sadly.
Really sad. And you see the statement from INEC. And of course, there's precedence. If, like the INEC National Commissioner was saying, if they see that the situation isn't, I mean, they can always say we won't go ahead with the election in certain places, but
yes,
it's happened before. So let's.
Now, it is important for politicians or anybody to know. If groups, communities, or some actors make their area insecure and the votes can't be, you know, be done there, then no, it will be discounted. It will be discounted, or it can be held at a later date when the security arrangements can be concentrated in the place. Everything has consequences. I mean, we've security so many times. We don't need to go into it in more detail on this particular program.
All right. Please do us a favor, turn off the device you're listening with so we don't get the feedback.
Take it easy.
Great. Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
My name is Esther.
Good day. We'll call back in. Hello and good evening.
Good evening, Agogo.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling.
My name is Ambrose. Good evening, Rotimi.
Ambrose, please go ahead.
Yes, I stumbled on the program. What I want to say is this. I don't think that anybody will lose an election and say he or she wants to go. My worry is this. We should concentrate on how we can go cast our vote in 2023 and then make sure that we vote for parties of our choice. I am advising that we should stop fighting each other and we should stop projecting political parties, because when we fight each other, these people don't fight each other at the top. We all knew what happened when the president don't wanted to wed. It was Atiku Abubakar that was his father. And you can imagine how many people will have killed themselves. You can also look at the case of Yemi Osinbajo now and Tinubu. We are made to understand that even in Lagos, they registered him. They said he should go to Ogun State. These same people, don't be surprised that they may not have any political indifferences. Now, we keep on saying the PDP and the APC, they are the major political parties. I, for one, if you ask me, I do not trust and I am not ready to vote for these two political parties. Trust me. I am saying that it is us that can make them major parties.
All right.
And we can sit down and say, okay, we don't want to vote for these two majors. We want to vote for a so-called minor, and he might, that party may emerge.
All right.
Well, so let us look at this thing holistically and leave this issue of APC, PDP. They will come and tell us that PDP has structure, APC has structure.
Thank you very much, Ambrose.
But I can tell you, it happened in Kenya some years ago. So let's look at all of these things. And I think any well-meaning Nigerian should be more interested in how this country will move forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Ambrose. And
What you said, the later part is self-evident. I mean, there are countries where the so-called main parties have been reduced to less than 25% of the vote in one election cycle. Mm. So it can happen here. It's up to voters to decide who they think can improve the standard of living for them.
Okay. Andoser in Maryland in WhatsApp, he writes, he says, contrary to views expressed by Rotimi about the voting pattern of Nigerians, the truth is that in Africa in general, people vote on the tribe and religion of the contestants. Only few countries, Senegal, South Africa, Zimbabwe, derogate to this rule. In 2015, Jonathan got almost all his votes, he says, in the South.
But that's not true now. Didn't we just break down the votes now since 1979? It was the gentleman listening out. Didn't we just break down the votes since 1979? Yeah, there's a significant number of people that vote according to ethnicity or religion. But it is wrong to say that all Nigerians or most Nigerians vote that way or will always vote that way. That's not true.
All right. This is from Matthew C. Matthew C. says that, how can INEC say they discovered illegal registration? That's why they omitted a whole lot of people. When you are registering something on the internet, if you make a mistake, the portal corrects you. If your data has been registered while trying to register again, the computer reminds you. Honestly, he says, it's foul play. I think they need to upgrade their server.
Well, when we get the INEC people, we'll put the question to them. We are not INEC. We can't answer the question.
Yes, and hope it doesn't repeat itself again. I mean,
we asked them. They begged us and said they are on Easter holiday.
So that this is corrected once and for all. Someone is asking, he says that... thank you, Rotimi. We all need to really start paying attention to the state and national assemblies. It's a strong reason why legislatures don't have 8 years governance sitting like every other arms of government. Please, of the approximate 200 million population in Nigeria, how many are estimated to be within voting age? He asks, 18 years and above. Okay.
At the current time, those under 18, let me not say that, because the data, the exact data that I have for that is about a year and a half old.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those people would have been 18 in the last 1.5 years.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, if the country is...
There's a new wave of it. I mean, if I use that early 2021 data, I may exclude a few hundred thousand people, if not a few million, that are now 18 plus.
Yeah, I'm also thinking that if the country's median age is 18 already, it takes 50% this way, 50% that way already. So we're probably looking at over 100 million already.
Actually, that's a good way to put it, median age, if median age is 18, it means roughly half are over 18, roughly half are under 18. So if you take that broadly, without getting the exact data from INEC, then it's roughly 100 million under 18, roughly 100 million over 18. But it's important to nuance that as you get older, the number reduces. So, for instance, those over 70% in the country are roughly 2.5% of the population.
Right, right.
So, that pyramid is, bigger at the bottom, slightly bigger from 18 to 35 and very narrow at the top.
Right,
so
right. I'm
just explaining for those who think that if you just divide it into two, it is two equal parts.
Right. But by the way, I'm sure all of you heard after the Council of State meeting yesterday that the population census will happen after the election in April. That's a big discussion to have, I guess.
Yes, there'll be a pilot census this year.
Right.
There has to be a pilot census before the main one.
Yeah.
The main one was actually scheduled to hold before the end of this year. I think they concluded that the election may get in the way. So the pilot census, which will still give us useful data, we hold this year.
Right.
And then the bigger one we hold immediately after the elections.
Right. So we're going to have to end because we're out of time, and I see so many questions still coming in. But this is just scratching the surface. There's still a lot for us to talk about on this one.
Oh, yes.
They can finish it up in one program. Yes.
Okay. So please join us again next Friday, 4 p.m. on 99.3. Thanks, everyone, for making time from your Easter holiday to engage the program.
Thank you very much, everyone, and do have a happy Easter holiday. Up next is the news at the top of the hour. And after the news, Sammy and Ifeanyi will take you through Nostalgia Avenue with music and moments.